I'm not sure what that was rated, but we might have had the kids leave first. I don't know. Just kidding. We are going to ask you after service today, if you're a member here, to stay for a moment for the affirmation of those two ladies as ministry team leaders of our community awareness team. What were we thinking? Just kidding. Great gift, creativity there. I'm getting a real bad feedback here. Are you all getting? Okay. We didn't get a chance to sound check that this morning. I apologize. Let me begin by telling you that Antonio's voice was high and squeaky, and because of that, he did not make the tryouts for the Cremona Boys Choir. When he took violin lessons, the neighbors persuaded his parents to make him stop. And yet Antonio still wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because really his only talent was whittling. When Antonio was older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker, and his knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving, and his hobby became his craft. He worked patiently and faithfully, and by the time he died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read Antonio Stradivarius. They are the most sought-after violins in the world. One sold at auction in 2011 for $10 million. That fell very short of the record, $16 million paid for a Stradivarius. Antonio could not sing or play or preach or teach, but his responsibility was to use the ability he had, and because he did, his violins are still making beautiful music today. It's great to see you this morning. We are on a biblical tour of the top 30 beliefs, practices, and virtues of the Christian faith. We have completed the 10-week portion of beliefs, knowing what we believe and why we believe it, helping us to think like Jesus. We are currently camping out in the practices, learning how to act more like Jesus because of what we believe. Today is week 17, and we're looking at something called spiritual gifts. I want to tell you that it's just not fair to throw a practice like this into a series that gives you 20, 30, 40 minutes to cover. I taught a full semester in Bible college on this subject, a full semester. You're going to get the crash course today. If you'd like to catch up or review any or all of those previous 16 messages, you can find them on our website at MuhammadChristian.org, or you can find them also, they're available free of charge on CD at the Welcome Center after each service. Spiritual gifts. Those two words together may have raised the hairs on the back of your neck. Maybe the term spiritual gifts confuses you or scares you. Some of you may have no idea what we're referring to. Others of you may have baggage from previous church experiences that make you twitch even at the mention of spiritual gifts. And then there are those of you who are curious because you know God has given you a gift. You're just not exactly sure what it is or how He wants you to use it. Now, wherever you are on that spectrum, we're going to look at God's Word today. We're going to shed some light on the mystery, and all of us walk out of here today ready to open our gifts and use them. We are not going to be John Millers, who take that gift that was placed right in front of him, clearly for him, and try to pawn it off on somebody else. These are your gifts God has given to you. Thank you for that illustration, John. As we begin today, there are two questions we want to answer right off the bat. What are spiritual gifts, and how are they different from talents, skills, and abilities? Well, here's the short answer. You can fill this in on your outline. A talent you're born with. A skill you learn from experience and or education. A spiritual gift is given to you by the Holy Spirit. As we go through these scriptures today, you'll find out that all believers, every single one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, have repented of our sins, been buried with Him in Christian baptism, we rose from that watery grave to live a new life, filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for every single Christian is He gives you at least one, and some, many, spiritual gifts. Now, He doesn't look at you and say, well, you don't really need any gifts. You've got 10 talents. No. If you've got 10 talents, He looks at you and says, now I want you to use those talents for the glory of the Lord. And I want to give you this spiritual gift. And I'll explain the difference there in just a moment. Sometimes along your journey, your walk in Christ, you'll find that He needs to stop and say, you know what? At this place, at this time, Penny, I really need to give you another gift, because there are people I'm bringing into your life that you're going to be so totally clueless of what to do, but I want you to be the one to do this, so I'm going to gift you with another gift. You with me? But too many people think that's the only way God works. That, oh, sometime down the road, and one day, maybe, He'll give me a gift. He'll pick me out and say, you know what, I've overlooked you for a while, maybe you need this gift. No. Everybody has a gift. And along the way, you may be called upon with other spiritual gifts to help out. And we'll explain why as we go along. Now, there are some abilities like teaching, craftsmanship, administration, to name a few, that can be learned skills, or they can be innate talents, or they can be spiritual gifts. I'm going to tell on my wife. When we first began ministry, we served a church that had no one to lead the singing. No one. My wife could not sing a note. She got her singing talent from her daddy, who is the very epitome of making a joyful noise. He was tone deaf, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, as they would say. But he always loved to sing. You know? Barbie was just like that. I kid you not. But at that church, at that time, in that place, God needed someone to help lead us in praise and worship. And He said, Barbie, won't you do that? And Barbie became Mrs. Moses. Oh, you've got the wrong person. Oh, I'm not talented for that. Oh, I could never do that. And God waited patiently for her to run through all the excuses, and then He finally said, now, if you're through whining, He didn't really say that. Yeah, He did, didn't He? He said, if you'll just let me use you, we'll see what we can do to help bring this church to a higher level of praise. And not only did God gift her at that moment, in that place, at that time, I praise the Lord, He allowed her to keep that gift on through her life. But believe it or not, it's not her thing. But He needed that gift, that place, at that time, and He said, ooh, Barbie, you have nothing else to do. So there are some things that you can learn. There are some things you may just innately be talented at, and there are things that God will just gift you with. What's the difference then? The difference is a spiritual gift is always given to each of us so we can help each other. That's the clincher. That's the clincher. A spiritual gift is given to you to help each other. A talent or a skill is developed to benefit ourselves and advance perhaps our career or our standing in society, but a spiritual gift is given to benefit others and advance the kingdom of God. That's it. Now, don't misunderstand me. God can, and He does, use our talents and our skills to help others. He does and can use our talents and skills to benefit and build up His church. Absolutely He can, and absolutely He does. But there's a difference between us giving our talents and skills to God and God giving a spiritual gift to us. Talents and skills are things, you see, that we are good at. Things we usually get a lot of joy and satisfaction from doing. Things that God can use for His purposes if we let Him. But a spiritual gift is something God gives us specifically for serving and building up His church. Now, here's why that distinction is important. When it comes to serving God, we all too often tend to look at what we are good at and offer that to Him to use. As if we're saying to Him, God, look, I've got this ability. Why don't you let me help you by sharing this wonderful thing that I'm good at with other people? And then we ask God to bless our efforts. And the result is we begin to rely solely on our own strengths, things we are good at, instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. The world then sees the church as good people, doing good things, enjoying what they're doing, instead of the power of God working through His people to do what only God can do. So here's another question we want to answer. What's so spiritual about spiritual gifts? Well, duh. What's so spiritual about them is that God is working directly through you to love and to serve others for the express purpose of building up His church. Mike had a great thing in Sunday school this morning. If you're not in Sunday school, first of all, shame on you. Number two, you really need to get in with it, because boy, when people start sharing, it just, man, it opens up so much for you. But Mike was sharing in there. I'm trying to think, Mike, what'd you say, Mike, this morning, you remember? Had anything to do with that? I knew I should have written that down. Oh, that sometimes, I know what I was going to say, sometimes, and I've used this expression in smaller groups before, sometimes God will say to you, you know, everything is going great. Everything's clicking. It's really wonderful. And we're loving each other, and everybody's friendly and welcome, and all those things you hear. And then God says, oh, good. Love this one. And He sends one along that really, really needs the love and the joy that you find in serving Jesus. But nobody likes them. I know, I've been there. I'm only kidding. Haven't you ever walked into a place where you just felt so unwanted? Just like you didn't fit? And then God says, okay, you know what? I want you to love this one. Now, He may say that to the church, and He may say that to you personally. But it's God working directly through you, doing things you would never do on your own. You would never feel qualified to do on your own. You just don't want to do on your own. But God says, I want to do this through you. That's the spiritual part of your spiritual gifts. Quickly, another question. How do I learn about the spiritual gifts in the Bible? Well, they're actually pretty easy to find. You only need to remember four books of the New Testament and two chapters. The four books are Romans and 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter. The two chapters are 12 and 4. You'll find them in Romans and 1 Corinthians chapters 12, and you'll find them in Ephesians and 1 Peter chapter 4. That make sense? And they're there on the board for you. You'll find the spiritual gifts listed in those four places. Now, you'll notice they're not all the same. Each list seems to have some differences there. The reason for that's very simple. They're all written to different churches, and each church has different needs of different gifts. God will send the gifts that church needs at that time. He always gifts the church to do what he wants that church to do. Having said that, then there are three major areas of spiritual gifts. This is an oversimplification, but hopefully it'll help us to understand it. As you saw on that last slide, there are over 20 gifts listed throughout the New Testament. And as you look over those lists, prayerfully ask God to show you which he's given you. Make it clear abundantly so you can use it. If you really have a desire to be used by God, then ask him to use you to do something he wants you to do, not just use it to things you like doing or are good at. First of all, there are spiritual gifts of service. These are many of these gifts that you read here this morning that are behind the scenes. They're not out front, done in front of people. Goodness, that would scare people to death if God gave you that gift. Encouragement. That's such a beautiful thing. Anybody get a letter from somebody just out of the blue, or a card, or an email, or a phone call? So perfectly timed. A word fitly spoken. Prayer partner. How many of you know what it is to have people praying for you? You know, not just your prayer life, just knowing you've got partners in prayer. On and on and on those lists of support go. Helps, service, administration, faith, mercy, giving. Most of that done as a support, as a service. Then secondly, there are gifts that grow out of prayer and worship. A full third of the gifts are manifested directly out of prayer. Prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healing, discerning of spirits. Many of those could be in this third category, the gifts of equipping, discipling, training. That would be a pastor. And how many of you understand that the pastor's not always the one that stands up in the pulpit and preaches? You know? It's one of the most beautiful things in the world when we grasp the biblical concept of the priesthood of all believers. All believers. The apostleship, leadership, evangelism, teaching, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, exhortation. Have you ever just had somebody just say the most incredible thing out of left field, but it was so perfect, so brilliant, so simple, and so profound that it just made you go, whoa, that's absolutely right. So many gifts can be very confusing as you try to determine which one or which ones the Holy Spirit has given you. So here are a couple of things you can do to help you with that. One, there are online assessments you can take. We have some paper ones in the office as well. Online assessments, sometimes called spiritual gift inventories. I've listed two of them on your outline there. Each of them have around 100 questions, and they take about 15 to 20 minutes to complete, and they give you your answers right there at the end online, and they're free. Now, I highly recommend those, but let me caution you about spiritual gift assessments. They tend to reveal where you are strong and where you are weak, and what you like to do and what you are good at. not necessarily what you ought to be doing in the future. So be careful, because when you see the results, you may be tempted to trust the results of that test, meaning you'll only want to do what you're comfortable with, what you're good at, instead of trusting God to be strong in your weaknesses. But having said that, don't be surprised if a spiritual gift inventory comes back with a suggestion that perhaps your spiritual gift is something way out of your comfort zone. I don't like that. I'm not good at that. I'm not qualified for that. Instead of, well, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, that's not giving you permission to say, here am I, Lord, send me, and then follow it with what you want to do, where you want to go, and how you want to be used. It's just, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever, wherever it is you want me to do to serve you in this body where I am today, lay it on me. If you enter a spiritual assessment like that, you're on the right track. But instead of doing only what you're comfortable with, getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of your box, you know what happens when you stay in a box long enough? You get stuck and you're just there forever and you burn out, and because that's just all you think you're good at, you eventually begin to just get into a rut. Wayne Smith always said, a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. Don't bury yourself in what you like to do. Trust God to be strong in your weakness. So one thing you can do along with those spiritual assessments is you could ask someone who knows you very well and will be very honest with you and about you, ask them to take that spiritual gifts assessment and answer the questions for you about you, how they would answer it about you. Because how many of you realize other people see you differently sometimes than you see yourself? So ask somebody that really knows you well to answer those for you. Now, quickly, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at some things to keep in mind as you study your spiritual gifts and as you seek to discover what your spiritual gift is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Keep your finger there and just go right down the page with me for a moment. Verse 1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. God's not trying to make a game or a mystery out of this. He's not playing hide and seek with you. He wants you to know about spiritual gifts. Verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts. Verse 5 says there are different kinds of service. Verse 6 says there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them as He chooses to each one. Your version may end with saying, just as He determines. But I didn't want that one. Doesn't matter. Not your online request. So, keeping that in mind, first of all, remember that every believer has a spiritual gift. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift, maybe more. But not every believer has the same spiritual gift. You've read the text, and there, and go, jump down to verse 28. God has appointed the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. And then in verse 29, He asks the question, you answer them, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. We all have a gift, we just don't all have the same gift. So don't expect everybody to have your gift too. Then he says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now, keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. John MacArthur said, a Christian who does not have a ministry is a contradiction of terms. Secondly, don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, gifts is plural. Gifts can be distributed any way he desires and decides. Fruit of the Spirit is singular. It has 9 parts to this fruit, but it's one fruit, and every believer has it. The gifts of the Spirit are different from the fruit of the Spirit in this way. The fruit of the Spirit shows my maturity. The gifts of the Spirit show my ministry. Now, I should have put that in the outline for you. I don't think I did. Put that down in your notes. The fruit of the Spirit shows my maturity. The gifts of the Spirit show my ministry. You can have spiritual gifts and not yet be spiritually mature. You can be a great teacher, but not yet have grown very mature in patience. I'm just throwing that one out because I know nobody has a problem with patience. The distinction is very important. The fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those 9 qualities show your maturity. You can have a spiritual gift and still be spiritually immature. Now, that does not mean you can't use your gift. If he's given you the gift, he means for you to use it now where you're at. And believe it or not, as you use the gifts he's given you, you will begin to mature in your fruit. I was sharing with Mike Tilford the other day, that we went to a elder and pastor's retreat or seminar in New York City a number of years back. And thousands of preachers and elders from all over the country were there. We met in the Radio City Music Hall. It's beautiful. For lunch, there was a church there that hosted all of us for lunch, and it was a huge, huge place to say the least. As we walked in, some guy asked how many of us were together. There were 8 of us. And then he kind of looked around, and then he said, follow this man here. And this guy took us to a table for 10. And as we were seated, that guy stood there with us and did this. And I'm going, peace, brother. Peace out. I'm from the 60s. One of the guys, one of the elders in our group, looked up at him after a few moments and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm using my giftedness. I thought that was a beautiful answer, but we had to have an explanation. What is that? He said, well, I don't sing or preach or teach, and I'm not real good at too many things. He said, but this is a gift of hospitality. I can show you to your seat, kind of familiarize you, as he did, just several little things. He said, and then I'm going to stand here and tell that guy over there at that door, we've got 2 more seats right here. That was his gift, hospitality. He wanted to make sure everybody had a seat. So if a couple came in by themselves, here's 2 seats. See what I'm saying? Hospitality. He was using his giftedness. I don't know how mature he was in the fruit of the Spirit, but I know he was using the gift he was given. That's all God asks. Use the gift you're given. Thirdly, don't think your gift makes you superior or inferior to others. It's not like, well, God doesn't like me very much. He only gave me this gift. Or, boy, look at me. God gave me this gift. No. Spiritual gifts are not meant to be an indication of how superior or inferior to other people we are. They are only meant to serve the Lord. Paul gives the example of the body, many parts, some that we just don't pay much attention to until when? We stub them or lose them. But every part, Paul says, is important. You might be an ear, someone that can listen. You might be a foot, someone who can go and do things. But the body is not complete and whole, functioning as it was intended to, without every part and every part doing its job. None more important than the other. Back to verse 31, when Paul said, I want to show you a more excellent way. Realize that using your gifts without love is worthless. It even makes your gift worthless. It's not by accident that the greatest chapter on love in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, is sandwiched right there between chapters 12 and 14. Remember, when Paul wrote this letter, there were no chapters and verses. That didn't just get stuck in there out of place. This is a part of what he's talking about. Chapter 12, about spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, love. The greatest exposition on love ever written. And the verse 14, chapter 14, back to gifts again. No, it's not from one to the other and something stuck in there. It's all one. Say, here are all these wonderful gifts. He said, I want to tell you something. If you don't use these gifts in love, love for the Father who gave them, love for those that you're serving, love for the lost that through all of these efforts maybe God can reach. If you don't do it with love, then Paul says things like this. I'm just a sounding, clanging cymbal. Paul stops and says, hey, by the way, let's stop and talk about love. Because if I don't have love, I'm nothing. He said, I could be the greatest teacher in the world. I could be the greatest preacher in the world. I could be able to speak the languages of men and even angels. I may have all knowledge and I may have all the faith to move mountains. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. So, as you discover and as you use your spiritual gifts, serve each other, build up the church, love the ones you serve, and love the ones you serve with. And that's going to be possible when first you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Serve Him in love. And the gift or gifts He gives to you will absolutely amaze you. It will no longer be the things you're good at necessarily. It may not be the things you really enjoy, but it will be the things that God needs for this body right here, right now, and He wants you to do it. I think it was Barbie that mentioned in class this morning, one of the scariest things about letting God use you and really getting into your gift is that you might find out you get another gift. Oh, I don't need more to do. Well, God wouldn't give you a gift if the church didn't need it. You remember they brought up the talents. God gave one guy one talent, or the master did, one five and one ten. The one that had one talent did what with it? They buried it, didn't use it. So what did God do? What did the master do? He took it away from him. But don't end the story there. He took it away from him and did what with it? Gave it to the guy that already had 10. So, yeah, there is that risk. But here's the joy in it. When you start letting God use you, not you letting God use what you're good at all the time. Keep doing that. Lord, don't stop that. But you let God use you in just some way He says, I want you to do this for me. I want you to be the one to do this at this for this church right now, because they really need that. When you let that happen, you will be putting yourself in a position to say, don't thank me. Thank the Lord, man. I have no idea how He pulled this off. I have no idea. But when you're in that spot, do you feel resentment? You've been there. Or do you feel blessed? Do you feel amazed? God did something not too long ago, and I was over at the bus barn. I was talking to one of the men as we were coming out, and I said, you know, I don't know why that amazes me. I should expect that of our God, shouldn't I? But you know what? He still amazes me. You never get tired of seeing how God can do that. But what's amazing is that you know, I didn't do that. God did that. I don't know why he did it through me. But I sure praise the Lord that he did, because not only has that been accomplished for God's will, I've been blessed. I've been blessed in a way I would have never known had I just stayed over here in my little box of comfort. So as you use those gifts, love the ones you serve and love the ones you serve with. What difference does all that make in the way I live day to day? Well, we will seek to serve using our gifts to glorify God and to help others, not ourselves. We will value and respect the gifts of others as together we can serve God better. We come to see that using our gifts for God gives us a purpose bigger than ourselves. And how many of you really want that? I mean, I want to get out of bed in the morning and not go, oh, Lord, morning. I want to get out of bed and go, good Lord, morning. I don't want to lay here in bed all day. Sometimes I feel like I do, but man, I want to see what God's got in store this beautiful day. Don't you? And I want to see how God's going to use you this week. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he'll want to use me this week too. That's the scary part, isn't it? So, jump out of bed. Don't question. Don't suggest. Just say, okay, Lord, here's a new day, and here am I. Send me. Send me to whomever, however, wherever, to do whatever for your glory. You'll know what it is to be gifted, even if it's standing by a table and doing this. Father God, I think every believer in this room wants to live a life that glorifies you, wants to live a life in Christ that just oozes with purpose. But I think most people in this room who are believers sometimes get a little bit skittish about spiritual gifts, because that means releasing the control, getting out of comfort zone sometimes, and just saying whatever, whenever, whoever, because it's what you think this church needs right now, what you know this church needs or this person needs. I want to be the one that you use. And yet, Father, if we would just let you work through us, how amazing. We will be blessed as well. So this morning, I pray that before we leave, we will first give ourselves to you. Then we'll give ourselves to each other. It's so amazing when the scripture tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said, and the second thing is what? Your neighbor as yourself. So help us just to love you and serve you because we love you. To love each other and to serve each other as you would have us to, because we love each other. And then, Father, we will go into this world and they'll know that we've been with Jesus by our love. And to that end we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if there's a decision you need to make today, that's what our invitation's for. Would you come as we stand and as we sing? Would you come?